Here are some things which happened to one or other of the prophets. Called to the task when young, as we heard in our reading. Told to lie on one side for 390 days, bound with ropes. Swallowed by a great fish. Told to marry a prostitute. Given words with which to admonish various kings. Thrown into a den of lions. Told not to marry. Called to prime ministerial leadership. Dropped down a muddy well. Told not to mourn his wife's death. These are things which happen to some of the prophets. Their books are some of the most neglected parts of the Bible, but they're full of interest. What is a prophet? But in the first part of the sermon, I shall be following the notes on the sheets that you have. You might like to reach them if you haven't got them in your hand already. Slides on the wall will follow later on. A prophet is a man or woman who is given words by the Lord for his people, sometimes for other nations too. Sometimes the prophets were given things to do as well, but their first calling was to pass on what the Lord said to them. Hear the word of the Lord was one introduction they used, or the Lord said to me, or some similar words. We're not told how the prophets became conscious that a particular message was from the Lord, but simply that it was. They had an inner conviction about it. As we're told by the Apostle Peter in the New Testament, no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1. Verses 20 and 21. True and false prophets. Moses was one of the first and greatest prophets. His words from God comprise much of the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But at times there were people who claimed to have messages from God, which they'd made up themselves. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 21, Moses asks, "How can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord?" And he answers, "If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously." False prophets tended to prophesy what they thought people would like to hear, especially kings. The prophet Jeremiah, for example, had to put up with several of them in his day. They said Jerusalem would not be overrun, but it was. Forthtelling and foretelling. We tend to think the prophets were always telling about what would happen in the future, but in fact their messages were for the present as well, if not more so. Forthtelling is giving the Lord's message for the present. Usually it was a call to people to change their ways, to stop doing something wrong and repent of it. Foretelling is speaking about the future. Prophecy of exile for the disobedient or restoration for the repentant. We'll hear examples of all these later. The prophets gave instruction, admonition, warning, and promise. The Apostle Paul wrote about Scripture in his second letter to Timothy. Scripture for him meant what we call the Old Testament. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That applies to the sayings of the prophets as much as to other types of Old Testament books. The prophets told people what to do and what not to do, We need to hear both. The 16 prophets who wrote the books named after them in the latter part of the Old Testament were not the first prophets. I mentioned Moses already. He's one of the outstanding prophets of Scripture. And in Deuteronomy 18:18, he passes on a word from the Lord about the future. I will raise up a prophet. That was correctly understood by the Jewish people to be a prophecy about the coming Messiah, the prophet. Various other prophets ministered from Moses' time through King David's and beyond after the division of the kingdom into two, the north, Israel, and the south, Judah, after Solomon's reign. Some names, two of them women, are on the handout. But now to my subject today, the 16 books of the prophets. These were written between about 800 and 400 BC, from before the end of the northern kingdom of Israel, when it was overrun by Assyria in 721 BC, through the fall of the southern kingdom of Judah, exile to Babylon in 587 BC, through the first return of some of the exiles from Babylon in 538 BC, up to the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem in about 433 BC. I'm taking the books not in the biblical order, but in date order according to the best estimates of their dates. For each, the date will be on the screen. I'll give their main theme and some significant quotes from them. We start with Joel. His main theme was a warning of judgment, which was symbolized by locust invasions, and a call to repentance, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Quote, I will pour out my spirit on all people, which was quoted by the Apostle Peter as being fulfilled on the day of Pentecost after Jesus' ascension. Amos, a shepherd and grower of figs from near Jerusalem, called to prophesy not in Judah, but in the northern kingdom of Israel, in a time of prosperity before the defeat and exile of the northern kingdom to Assyria. Main theme, a call to righteousness in the face of injustice for the poor, followed by a series of visions of judgment, concluding with a few verses on restoration. Quote, let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. You could say he was the patron saint of Christian aid. Jonah, also in the time of prosperity before the fall of the northern kingdom, Jonah is called to go to Nineveh, the Assyrian capital, and preach repentance. But he doesn't want the Assyrians forgiven, so he takes a ship sailing in the opposite direction to Spain. The rest is history. Main theme, need to obey God and preach repentance. Forgiveness is available to anyone who turns to God. Quote, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Hosea. During the decline and exile of the northern kingdom, Hosea is told by God to take a prostitute, Gomer, as his wife. After bearing him three children, she deserts him and returns to prostitution. But then she comes back, and in love he restores her as his wife. All that is a picture of God's dealing with his unfaithful people, Israel. Main themes, judgment on Israel, but God's enduring love for his people. Quote, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. It's inward devotion from our hearts, not outward ceremonies, that God desires, then and now. Isaiah. He prophesied in the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of the southern kingdom of Judah. Main themes: judgment on sin, the coming Messiah or servant, and restoration after exile. In chapters 44 and 45 of Isaiah, he names the Persian king Cyrus as the one who will allow Jewish people to return to their land after their exile. Liberal scholars cannot believe that Isaiah could know this king's name about 150 years beforehand, and so they guess that chapters 40 onwards were written by one or two other people after the return from exile. But there are many features that are common to the whole book of Isaiah. And God is outside time, so there's no reason why he cannot reveal to the prophets the names of people who do things in the future. Indeed, in the Dead Sea Scroll of Isaiah, which dates from about 200 BC, which can be seen today in the Scrolls Museum in Jerusalem, the first line of chapter 40 comes at the very bottom of a column of writing on the scroll. Clear indication that they didn't believe in any second Isaiah. Quotes, the first we've sung already, "Here I am, send me," Isaiah's response to God's call received in a vision in the temple. Second, "People walking in darkness have seen a great light," part of one of his prophecies about the Messiah read at Christmas. "Here is my servant whom I uphold," the beginning of four passages in the latter part of the book, which are about the servant of the Lord, the Messiah. And in the fourth of those, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all," a line from chapter 53. That chapter contains the clearest and most detailed prophecy about the death of the Messiah on the cross 700 years later. Micah, a younger contemporary of Isaiah. Main theme: judgment and deliverance. Quotes, "They will beat their spears, their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks," part of a passage read every Remembrance Sunday. "Bethlehem, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel," foretelling Jesus' birth. Nahum, sometime between the falls of the northern and southern kingdoms. Main theme: judgment on Nineveh. And the Babylonians overran Nineveh soon afterwards. Quote, "The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him, but with an overwhelming flood, he will make an end of Nineveh." Zephaniah, a few years before the exile of Judah. Main theme: judgment on the day of the Lord and later restoration of Jerusalem. Quote, "The great day of the Lord is near." Jeremiah, time in the reigns of Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah, the last kings of Judah, leading to the exile of Judah. Main theme: judgment for forsaking the Lord, the fall of Jerusalem, and exile. Quotes, as we heard in our reading, "Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Jeremiah was called to prophesy when a young person, as we heard, and he prophesied for about 40 years. "Why did I ever come out of the womb?" He found his task very difficult, as few took his messages seriously, but continued in their idolatry. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." A key verse to share with our unbelieving friends. "I will make a new covenant." Jeremiah's words were not all words of judgment. There are some promises for the future. The text of the book of Jeremiah makes clear that chapters 21 onwards are not in chronological order. Nor can anyone explain why they're in the order that they are in, except that Jeremiah dictated them to his scribe Baruch as he remembered them. He did not have the benefit of a computer to cut and paste. So if you wish to read Jeremiah chronologically, chronology didn't matter much to them in those days as it does to us, follow the order in the footnote on today's handout. Habakkuk, the time shortly before the exile of Judah. Main theme, complaints to the Lord about injustice and the Lord's answers. Quotes, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil." That one about God. Then about us. "For still the vision awaits its time." Sometimes we have to wait for answers. "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, and all sorts of other things are going wrong, yet will I rejoice in the Lord." Daniel. Time in the exile in Babylon. Main themes, standing firm for the Lord and visions of the future. Daniel was one of a small group of Jewish men trained for leadership in exile in Babylon. He rose to the top because God gave him a gift of interpreting the king's dreams. But when opposed by others, he did not compromise, and God protected him. Quotes, "My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions in the lion's den. And there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days." A vision of the Father and Jesus in heaven. The second half of Daniel, detailed visions of the future. Liberal people, again, cannot believe that these were written by Daniel at the time in advance. They suggest a much later date and a different author for them. Ezekiel, also during the time of exile in Babylon, but a very different person from Daniel and a very different task from Daniel. Main themes, the fall of Jerusalem because of evil. There'd been the first exile, and later there's to be the fall of Jerusalem and the exile of the rest. And then at the end, return from exile and vision of the temple. Ezekiel was given some of the strangest tasks of all the prophets. I leave you to read this most unusual book for yourselves. Quotes, "I have made you a watchman. The soul who sins is the one who will die. Personal responsibility. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord," from his vision of the valley of the dry bones which came to life. Obadiah, time after the exile of Judah had begun. Main theme, judgment on Edom, a neighbor nation. It's the shortest book in the Old Testament. Quote, "You should not look down on your brother in the day of his misfortune." A former clergy colleague of mine, now in heaven, used to say to Christian people, "When you get to heaven and meet Obadiah, how will you reply when he asks, 'What did you think of my book?'" Haggai. Time after Judah's return from exile. Main theme, command to rebuild the temple. Quote, "Be strong and work, for I am with you." Zechariah, time. Well, chapters 1 to 8, contemporary with Haggai. Chapters 9 to 14, sometime afterwards. Chapters 1 to 8, main theme, rebuilding of the temple. Chapters 9 to 14, the Lord's care for Judah, and his coming, visions, which are a challenge to understand. Quotes, "See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, that fulfilled on Palm Sunday. And Malachi, time during the time of Nehemiah, who led the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. Main themes, empty religion and the coming of the Lord. Quotes, do not break faith with the wife of your youth. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me, fulfilled in the coming of John the Baptist. Bring the whole tithe, see if I will pour out so much blessing. And I will send you the prophet Elijah, also fulfilled in John the Baptist. Why and how should we read the prophets? Why? Well, firstly, to learn more about God, his will, his justice, his love, the consequences of disobedience to him, and the joys of restoration by him. We need to know more of these things. Secondly, to appreciate the variety of people God uses to pass on his word. He still uses people today from all sorts of backgrounds to serve him. Thirdly, to read the wonderful messianic prophecies about Jesus in their original context. And fourthly, and most importantly, so God can speak to us through his word, to instruct us, warn us, and encourage us, and guide us into his will for us. We need to hear him. How should we read the prophets? Well, some of us will do so in the normal course of a scheme of reading that takes us through the whole Bible. But there's a lot to be said for sitting down and reading the whole of one of the shorter books at a sitting, or a large chunk of one of the longer books. That way they'll get to understand their main themes better. To sum up, God speaks through his prophets to call his people back to him. In his love, he warns them of the just consequences of wrongdoing and promises his forgiveness and restoration to those who repent and promises the coming Messiah. May we repent of ignoring the prophets if we need to do so, and enjoy reading what the Lord said through them. Let us pray. Firstly, a moment for silent reflection. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your servants, the prophets. We praise you for their obedience to you, for your grace given to them. We thank you that their words were written down for our instruction. We pray that, like the rest of Scripture, we may read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. So give us grace to know your will, to be obedient to you, to repent of those things of which we need to repent, to find your forgiveness and restoration, and joy in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.